Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Wait. It will come. I promise. That still small voice that's calling out, I need you. I desire you. I want to be relational with you. I want to live in and through you. God. The Bible, an amazing book, is full of hundreds and hundreds of examples of God speaking to men and women like you and I all the time. And what's interesting is this Bible, God spoke. He spoke to men and women like you and I to write over a period of 1,000 years. Throughout the Bible, God uses many different ways to communicate. In fact, one of those ways he used was with Moses. And all of us remember the story of Moses. Moses was the babe that floated into Pharaoh's courts and was scooped up and brought up in Pharaoh with Pharaoh and his family. And he knew fame. He knew riches. His life had fulfillment more than anyone could ever want. But he chose to leave that. And as he left that, he was wandering. Wandering from what? Wandering from who? From where am I going? And as he began to wander, if you will imagine with me, here's Moses. He's wandering, and bam. Not just, here you go, it's, well, bam. There is this burning bush. I don't know about you. I squeaked. It would make me go crazy. It would make me freak out and be like, what in the world? I've never seen this before. And I have seen the best of the best, but I've never seen this before. And not only is this bush burning, but it begins to talk to him. And the bush begins to tell him, I am God. Not really like that. But the bush begins to talk to him and tell him that he is God. And that he loves him. And that he has a plan and a purpose for his life. I don't know about you, but seeing my people humiliated, killed, murdered, put in slavery, and then walking away, trying to figure all this out. Coming to a burning bush and it talking to me, I don't know if I'd believe it. But God loved him, and God spoke his purpose to him. Another person God spoke to in the Bible was Saul. All of us know who Saul is. He's the guy that wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. His name is Paul. He became Paul. Saul was a man who hated Christians. He hated people that loved Jesus. And he wanted to do anything and everything in his power to rid the earth of them. But what's interesting is, God said, sorry, Bubba, you're not going to do it anymore. And as he was going along in the peak, I believe, in the peak of trying to rid the earth of Christianity, God spoke. God didn't blow up a burning bush. God didn't write anything in the sky. God didn't kill him and then bring him back to life. God blinded him. I think one of the worst things that could ever happen is not being able to see. Not being able to see the step you're taking in front of you. And as God blinded Saul, he began to work. He began to speak to Saul. That'd be a wake-up call for me. And then God spoke to a man in the Old Testament named Balaam. Who is Balaam? I asked Pastor Doug if I could say the other word for donkey, but he told me no. And I'm sure all of you know that, and that was kind of a joke, but that's okay. But God spoke to Balaam through a donkey. And then again, God burns a bush and speaks through this bush. God blinds someone who has seen, and the men around him are in awe and going, what in the world is this? And now Balaam, a man who is a classic case of a worldly prophet. He was overcome by worldliness, and his values reflected not the righteousness of God, but the lusts and the flesh of the world. In the midst of his fame, God spoke to him. not through a burning bush, not by blinding him, but through a donkey. Job 33 says, God speaks in different ways, but we don't always recognize his voice. God has many different ways he speaks to us, and he's not limited to any way. The problem is we don't always recognize it. So we have to work on this perception issue. Does God speak to us? The Bible says yes. And today, we're going to look at ways he speaks to us. So if you take your bulletin, number one, the first way, God speaks to us through his word. We start with this one intentionally, because it's the number one way that God speaks to us is through his word. There's a lot of people that say in the world, well, God, I want you to send me a fax, or God, I want you to write it in the sky for me. But what's amazing is God doesn't have to send a fax. God doesn't have to write anything special in the sky. He's already written it. And he wrote it through men and women over that period of thousands of years. Rick Warren, he says, a quote from him, he says, God never shuts his mouth until you shut the Bible. Let me say that again. God never shuts his mouth until you shut the Bible. Isn't that good? If you're not opening the Bible, if you're not reading it on a daily basis, if you're not praying and talking to God as you read, God won't talk to you. One of the things I learned growing up, I became a Christian when I was 11 and a half years old, and my pastor, who's in heaven now, he would speak frequently on quenching the spirit and what that looked like and not allowing God to speak to us. And I think that's one of these ways, is when we don't open our Bible, God will not speak to us. I have an example, and my example is this. I was at our local Starbucks. I like Starbucks, I have to admit. It's getting the show, too. But I was at Starbucks, and I was sitting there, and I was drinking my grande non-fat hazelnut extra hot latte. And it was wonderful. And as I was sitting there drinking my latte, I was working on my sermon and praying, and God began to speak to me. Well, earlier that morning, it was Monday, I went to work as usual, and for those of you who don't know, I work for Alton's Tire, and at that time, I did all their inventory, and I drove this big, huge, ginormous bus that said Alton's Tire on it, and I would drive around town and go to different stores and what have you, but I was working there, and I come into work normal Monday morning, I get all my stuff set up, and Matt Alton, the owner of Alton's Tire, is at the store, and he says, hey, Mike, I want to talk to you for a minute. And he pulls me back into the manager of that store, his office, and he begins to talk to me and tell me some things. And with that, he said, you're fired. Have a great day. I got to tell you, the emptiness and the instant heartache of being fired. I'd never been fired before. Come on, look at me. No, I'm just playing. I've never been fired before. And so this concept just went whoosh and hit me so hard. My income, whoosh, is gone. Driving my big truck, whoosh, becomes very, very expensive. Some things in life that I'm going through, I'm going, God, what's going to happen? So I leave, head down in shame, heart throbbing really fast, instantly going, okay, I gotta go get a job, gotta go to unemployment office, gotta do this, gotta do that. And I begin to call my family and friends and begin to share with them what happened. Yes, a few of them, how could he? How could they do this? You're so valuable, you're so good. Yeah, yeah. And some of them, but Mike, God's in control. God has a plan. So I took that and I went through my day, continued to mope and groan, and came to the end of the day, and I'm sitting at Starbucks, and God begins to speak, and I grab my Bible, And I turn to Philippians 2:3, and it says, "Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too, and what they are doing." Okay, God, do you think he was talking to me? I do. Did I need to defend myself? No. God was in control, and all I had to do was give him the situation. Has anything ever happened to you like this in life? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right." Why did God give us this Bible? Why should the Bible be relevant in our lives today? First reason, you're not going to have this in your notes, so if you want to just jot this down on the side, that'd be awesome. The first reason, there are four reasons, and the first reason why God gave us the Bible is to teach us. And you may say, to teach us what? To teach us the plan about this plan, this thing we call life. The Bible is given to us to change our lives, and the Bible gives us the blueprint to change our lives. There are certain things that you need to know to do in life. If you're going to do these things to change your life, for instance, if you want to be successful in life, if you want to know how to get along with people, if you want to know how to manage your finances, if you want to know about love, these are essential for life change. Fortunately, everything you need for life is in the Bible. The Bible is an intensely practical book and has these skills. It not only tells us what to do, but it tells us how to do it. Number two, to help us. Dwight L. Moody says, Dwight L. Moody says it's to help us. Number two is to help us. Dwight L. Moody says the Bible is not given to us to increase our knowledge. The Bible is given to us to change our lives. Number three, the Bible was given to us by God to correct us. Just like a child doesn't like to be told, you know, you better get out of the street or you're going to get run over. God uses the Bible to correct us. And number four, finally, to show us how to live. Who here doesn't want to have a fulfilling, rich, amazing life? What's so interesting about this number four is that there are self-help books all over the bookshelves of all over the stores that sell books. Self-help books, how to live your best life now. Purpose-driven life. Just like every appliance and every electrical gadget needs a source, a power source, the Bible is given to us to be that power source, to help us, to show us how to live. God never shuts his mouth until you shut this book. That's why it's important to have a daily time with him. What's interesting is I struggled with this, and sometimes I still do. And that is, oh, I got this to do, I got this to do. I don't have kids yet, but you may say, oh, I got to get the kids to school, I got to get off to work, I got this, this, and this. And then you get to work and you're like, what about God? 5 minutes a day, folks. 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. God doesn't put a timing on how long we need to spend with him. But if we take time to spend with God and read his word, and not just read his word, but as we read his word, meditate. And what I mean by meditate is pray and think about what you're reading. And we take those minutes and we apply them to what we're doing that day. Let me tell you what. God begins to speak. He begins to do amazing things. This is important. Psalms 119 says, 105 it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." The Bible tells us that is the flashlight for life. And what's so interesting about this is with a flashlight, you can't see it far away. Sure, if it's the only flashlight around or the only light around, but you can't see it very far away. You can see it every step you take. And it's the same thing with the Bible and God. It's just a daily portion, if you will. It's a flashlight shining into onto our next step in our daily lives and our daily walk with Him. Number two, in the ways God speaks to us. The Bible tells us God speaks to us through gifted teachers. Ephesians 4:11 through 12, it says, He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church and the body of Christ. Here's the question: how do you know if when someone's talking, they have this gift to be a teacher? The way Pastor Doug described this to me was this. When you're sitting here, and as I'm speaking, or as he speaks, or whomever is speaks, and it's like no one else is in the room. It's like God's speaking directly to your heart. But what's interesting about that is there's a test. And the Bible talks about this. It talks about in Romans 12:6. It says the Bible talks to teachers and says, God in his kindness gave each of us different gifts. If your gift is speaking God's word, make sure that what you say agrees with the faith. If someone has the gift of teaching, it's going to agree with the Bible. If what is said doesn't agree with the Bible, God will not bless it. God will not allow it to move forward. Number three, third way God speaks to us. God speaks to us through godly friends and family. Particularly if your friends and family are believers, God uses them as an avenue of communication to you. Often we discount these just friends, just families, as communication avenues from God. That day when I left my work, I got to tell you, that pain and that empty feeling was so strong that all I wanted to do was go to my family and friends. And God spoke through them. God allowed an avenue to flow through there, through that situation, to speak through them to me. Do you have people like that in your life? Do you have people that speak life and love and positive things in your life? Proverbs 12:26 says, the godly gives wise advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray. We all have blind spots. And sometimes in the midst of those blind spots, we can't see clearly. And that's why God gives us people in our lives who love us to tell us the truth. I don't know about you, but sometimes the truth really hurts. But that hurt becomes an amazing blessing. And what's interesting about that is recently I found that out. I have this big, beautiful blue truck. And it is bigger than Chad Young's truck in my head. But I have this big, blue, beautiful truck. And I spent thousands of dollars on it. And right now it is sitting in the backyard of my father's home. And the reason why it's in the backyard of my father's home is because the bank didn't process one of my payments. And he said to me, Michael, if you don't make a payment and they call me, your big blue baby is mine. And he did what he promised he would do. And so I get back to work and I look. And man, let me tell you, my big blue baby was gone. And I freaked out. And I called him and he said, yo, I think I'm just going to keep it. You're not going to have it back and I'll continue paying the payments on it and it's going to stay where it's at, where it's sitting right now. I told Pastor Doug, I said, can you take this back from me? Do I really have to speak on God speaking to us? God began to speak again to me. And it was hard, because it was my father. It was hard not to shun him or just shut him out and say, you know what? How can you call yourself a Christian? How can you call yourself a father? How can you do this to someone you love? Just leave him stranded. Just leave him to think about how to get around, what to do. Hey, if you lose your job, it's okay. It's going to stay where it's sitting. Hello, God is speaking this morning. The fourth way God speaks to us is through impressions or ideas from the Holy Spirit. Impressions or ideas from the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He gives you thoughts. He gives you suggestions. He puts impressions or notions or inspirations in your mind. Actually, when God speaks, we call it inspiration. And when the devil speaks, we call it temptation. When God speaks, we call it inspiration. And when the devil speaks, we call it temptation. Inspiration is like a suggestion. When God puts a suggestion in your mind, you are inspired. You have an inspiration. When the devil puts a suggestion in your mind, we call that temptation. John 14:26 says, "But when the Father sends the Counselor as my representative, and the Counselor, I mean the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I myself have told you." The Bible calls the Holy Spirit our Counselor. And I kind of look at him as my bro and my best friend. But I also kind of look at him as a coach and a mentor. And you know what's interesting about this is people pay thousands of dollars for a coach or a Pilates lady to teach you Pilates. Or, hey, I need to learn how to play basketball, so I'm going to hire this really expensive MBA coach of the year to come and teach me how to play basketball. And you pay thousands of dollars. What's interesting is the Holy Spirit is nada, is zero. God's given him to us free. But the way we get him is by reading. And if we don't read, we got to pay. What's interesting about this area is it's a very sensitive area. A lot of people really have a lot of opinions and thoughts, and the Bible speaks a lot about the Holy Spirit speaking to us in many different ways. But since this is such a sensitive area, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it this morning. And so next week, come back. Because Pastor Doug is really going to elaborate on this area and really going to speak a lot more on the Holy Spirit. So we've looked at four ways. First, God speaks to us through the Bible. God speaks through gifted teachers. God speaks through family and friends. God speaks through inspirations given by the Holy Spirit. And number five, God speaks to us through our pain. God loves us so much that he even speaks to us through our pain. Notice I said through. God doesn't cause it, but he loves us enough to use our pain to speak directly into our lives. The battle, if you will, I was having with my father was painful. But God took that pain and made it gain. God took what I was going through and turned it into a blessing. If you ever go by 122 West 37th and look to the left side of the road, there's this old Toyota. It is the ugliest, pukiest color you'd ever imagine. And it's cocked up on one side because we're trying to get the engine to run. And that's going to be my vehicle. Yay! Woohoo! Four by in, see ya. You're going to see me pushing that thing up the hill. But what's amazing, it's a blessing. God took this pain and made it gain in my life. God took what Satan meant for bad and evil and to destroy, and he took it and he made it good. And not only did he make it good, but he began to bless me even more. Psalms 119 says again, "The suffering you sent for me was good, for it taught me to pay attention, pay attention to your principles. Now, you may be here today and know your father didn't take your truck away from you. But you know what? You may be going through a divorce. You may have just lost a baby from a miscarriage. Maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend left you, or maybe your house burned down, or whatever is happening in life. God knows. Don't allow that pain to gain in your life, but allow God to take that pain and put amazing blessings in your life. God speaks to us through the Bible. God speaks to us through gifted teachers. God speaks to us through friends and family. God speaks to us through impressions given by the Holy Spirit. And God even speaks to us through our pain. Do you have ears to hear? Hello? Do you have ears to hear? God speaks to us in different ways, but we don't always recognize Him. God speaks to us in different ways, but we don't always recognize Him. This morning we're going to do something different. And to my knowledge, I don't think we've ever done this at Beyond Grace. But what we're going to do different is, in just a sec, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. And today we're going to put into practice and motion these 5 points, these 5 areas that God gives us, the ways that He speaks to us. This morning you may be here and you may read your Bible on a daily basis. And you may say, man, I read this thing all the time, but I just don't get anything out of it. I don't understand it. I'm just confused by it. Why do I have to read it? This morning, God wants to speak to you through it. Or maybe you're here and you come every week and you may look from the far back and go, who's that goofy-looking, old-looking dude up on stage? I don't really understand what he says. I come every week and he talks and talks and talks and tells me God loves me and tells me that God has a plan for my life and does all these weird series that just don't make sense to me. Do you have ears to hear? Are you coming saying, God, here's my heart. Here's my life. Because let me tell you what. If you come and your heart is hardened, God will not speak to you because He can't. Because you're putting up a wall. You're blocking that from Him. Or maybe you're here today and you're going through situations like myself. And God is speaking through your friends and through your family. But it's that still small voice. That small voice that is so audible and so loud, we can't hear it. Because we're taking that pain or that the situation that's going, we're going through in life, and we're allowing it to be above God. This morning, we're going to lay that down. This morning, we're going to allow God to speak through what our friends and what our family have been saying to us. God's in control. There's a coworker. God just reminded me of this. There's a coworker I work with. And we'll call him Pete. And Pete is a guy that loves sex. And he loves drinking. And he loves food. All three of those things tied in. Nightclubs, bars, strip clubs. And that's where Pete, he loves to go there. And Pete is this guy that things always go wrong in life. He doesn't understand why things go wrong. And he hates when he can't have his sex and beer and go to these places. He hates it. I was with him one time and he said to me, Mike, I invited him to come this week. And he said to me, Mike, how can I believe in a God that doesn't speak to me? How can I believe in a God that doesn't love me? How can I believe in a God that gives me all these stupid rules to follow And when I try to, I always fall again. Maybe you're here this morning and you're asking those same questions. How?